Welcome to another episode of Routes Through Pokemon. I'm promoter Shea Luck.
And I'm gym leader Ruby.
And together we are a father and daughter duo journeying through the Pokemon video game series, the anime, and the Pokemon Adventures manga. And this week we are on Route 19 as we venture through more of Gold, Silver, and Crystal in the Kanto region and tackle another gym, as we only hit one this time because there was kind of a lot involved getting there.
Yep-a-rooney.
But before we dive into those details, let's catch up on what's been going on.
When you said you were a promoter, Shea Locke, what's a promoter? Where did we meet him?
I think that's probably what you would call the champ in the making guy. Yo, champ in the making. Because he's like promoting, like a fight promoter is like usually the announcer kind of thing or whatever. But like, well, maybe not the announcer. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's the right term. Maybe not.
Okay.
Like, I'm yo champ in the making guy, Shea Locke.
Okie dokie.
Anyway, anything interesting going on since our last recording?
So, there was a fair near us recently, which was a lot of fun. We had a group into it and got to bring some projects and stuff. And so, that was a lot of fun. Got to ride some rides and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't do any really... I didn't do any of the exciting rides this time around. I had some tickets, but I just saved mine to do rides that other people wanted to do. So, I rode the carousel a bunch with one of my younger children, because he loved it, and it was one of the only rides he could really do. He had a couple he could do, but he liked that one.
It would have been fun for you and me to go on the upside down one.
That would have been fun. Maybe we'll have to try to make sure we do that next time.
Yeah. Or we could just go to Valley Fair again.
That works too. Yeah, so I did that a few times. I also did like the younger like kid type of roller coaster thing that they have at those things, because a couple of kids wanted to do that. It was Vi Vi and CK that wanted that one. And CK couldn't go on without an adult. And then Rosella and I did the Ferris wheel because she loves to do that with me. And Vi Vi did the Ferris wheel with me because he wanted to try it. And he was definitely very nervous. But when I said he was being braver than his oldest sibling, he got even braver. And then some people wanted to go on the Ferris wheel again later. And so Serenity, my wife, took a couple kids on one, what do you call the things on a Ferris wheel? Carts? Baskets? Buckets? Ooh, buckets. That could be. So, and one of the buckets of the Ferris wheel, and I went in there with Vavai and Castle, and we could see each other, because we were next to each other, basically, in the thing, so we could, yeah. Unfortunately, one of them, who I thought was going to be super nervous about it with Serenity, was super interested and excited and was like climbing up a little higher and like leaning, starting to try to lean over the edges and stuff. So she had to like bring him down.
Like Little Bird?
It wasn't Maltese, no.
Which one was it?
It was Arrow.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
That's a little dangerous.
Especially since he's the one that was already injured a while back and is going through a lot of physical therapy.
By a certain someone in the room. Daddy.
So it's just interesting the daredevilishness that was taking place there. Because he's definitely a much more reserved person, a lot like me in a lot of ways, that I didn't expect that. But he feels a lot more confidence and safety when he's with his mother. So that might be where some of that came from.
That's fair.
Anyway, yeah, but the fair was fun. I only went one day because I had to work over the weekend, so we went to the day before the weekend. And it looked like it was going to be a great day because it was nice and cloudy and stuff when we got there, and it was really nice for like the first couple of hours, and then the clouds broke up and the sun came out and it was super hot and humid that me and Serenity were like, we're just surviving and trying not to be crabby. And then as it got later, it got better.
Yeah, I went there every single day. The day that we went, I was there all day, like maybe not from the very opening, but pretty early. And then we were there until night. There was a really cool drone show and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the drone show was cool.
And then I was there Friday morning because we had a friend who came over. She comes over lots and stays all weekend. I think her record is like 4 nights or something. She said she wants to break that record. And we had her over the weekend, and so we got a ride on the second day of the fair. And so we stayed from like 9-ish to noon. Then the next day, we went with my grandma because we had to help in a booth. And there's this wristband special ticket thing. And so we got to go on a bunch of rides for like 5 hours. And we went on the Ferris wheel and she kept standing up and we're like, sit down. And she was trying to rock it. And I'm like, there are rules for a reason.
There are rules for a reason. To break them.
Then I'll push her out. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the fair.
Yeah. Did you go the day after the wristband day?
Yeah, only to pick up projects.
Oh, okay.
I did get some food.
Because you said you went every day, so I'm like, did you actually go that day? I didn't even know.
I got some stuff from the food stand, too.
Right on. Well, that's cool. Yeah, that was the big thing that's been going on. I took up... Oh, we all got... Well, a lot of us got sick from it, so it's kind of passed through the house. Just kind of like a cold that kind of creeps in on the first day, knocks you out the second day, and then you just got like some weariness for the next day, and then it's just stuffy.
I felt a little under the weather that weekend, and then I felt like I had a sore throat, so I took some medicine, like herbal medicine or whatever, and I think I got over it with it.
That's really good. Yeah, and it's hard to say, did we get it at the fair, or was it already lingering from when Flame got back from camp, because he was like a little off, and we just got our immunity system super suppressed with all the like bad food yeah, all the junk that we were having. Yeah, there was a drink there that I really, really enjoyed.
It was so good. I had like 4.
You had 4 of them?
Over the days I was there. I was there for 4 days.
Oh, you had them on different days. I had 3. I mean, I had 2 of the same kind and a different flavor. And I had 3 the one day that I was there. And I got a discount on my 3rd one because the person recognized me. Like, oh, you really like them. And so I got a dollar off my last one.
That's funny.
Which was useful for them because I sent others there, apparently.
I had 1 or 2 the day that our friends brought me and my friends in. And then the wristband day. If I had only 1 the day before, I had 3 that day. But if I only had 2 that day, then I had 2 that day. I
don't know. Okay.
Something like that.
They were really good, though. Did you always get the same flavor?
Yeah.
It was so good. That was the best. I only had 2 flavors, but that was the best one.
It was so good.
But yeah, other than that, yeah, I think that's about... Oh, I guess big news, sort of, is my brother came into town, so he's staying with us for a couple weeks.
Yeah, with his cute little kids.
Yeah, so your cousins are over too. But he recently moved into an RV life with his family, but with the passing of my dad, he went up to go take care of things up where my dad's house was. And so the RV got left behind when they just drove up there because they were just going to stay at my dad's place then while they dealt with everything. And so then they drove down here with some stuff. They have some stuff being shipped over here. And then he's going to go out and get his RV back and bring it back so they can all get back into their home because they all kind of miss it already. So, but yeah, so he's here. It's fun. We actually just spread my dad's ashes this morning because he got in 2 days ago. Yeah. And so, yeah, we had the opportunity to go do that and say our goodbyes, which was nice. And... yeah, it's fun to have him around because I like my brother, and we're hoping to go watch TMNT, the 1990s movie, in theaters because it's going to be out for a week coming up here soon, and this is the week of my birthday as well, so I want to go watch it.
Are you bringing all of both families?
I don't know what our plans are. I have to talk to him because it might just be me and him.
Rude.
I haven't made a firm decision either way.
Sounded like he was going to bring one of his kids.
He sounded like he was going to do that by going a second time.
Oh. Thanks.
But if he's like, but that might be him thinking, well, I want to just do it with you because you want to do it with just me. Like, he might think that's where my head is at. And so if I'm okay with us just bringing everybody the first time, that might work too.
Guess we'll see.
Yeah, I have to talk to him. It also depends on his schedule because he's flying out on Saturday to go get back to Florida to get the RV.
And he said he wants to do other things while he's here, like go on a date and stuff.
Yeah. So.
Busy.
Yep. But otherwise, I think that's about it.
Yeah, probably.
So let's jump into our adventure to the next gym. So last time, we finished off the Fuchsia City gym. And we thought we'd head south to go to the Seafoam Islands and maybe Cinnabar Island and do that gym. But once we headed towards the beach, we couldn't reach the beach because there was boulders in the way. And they said something about construction and working on stuff. And some people around there, I don't know if they were in the building or it was the construction guys, but they mentioned that the volcano on Cinnabar Island erupted.
Yes, they did.
Do you remember Cinnabar?
Yep. Oh, no. Okay, I don't remember what it was like there, but I remember who the gym leader is.
Who's the gym leader?
Blaine.
Okay, good. But yeah, like they mentioned volcano. We never see the volcano, I don't think, when we go there. But that's where the science lab was to resurrect the fossils.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the mansion there where we learn all about Mew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's how we get the key to get into the gym to go fight Blaine.
I remember now.
Good. And that was after going through the Seafoam Islands, which is where we caught Articuno. We went down in those caves, had to push boulders to block the rivers so that we could surf up the right area to go get Articuno.
I do not remember.
Interesting. It was a cave on one side. Like, you floated over here to go into the cave that actually exited closer back to where we came in, but the way the rocks block everything, then you come out and surf further on to get to Cinnabar. Okay, well, that's fine. You don't have to remember. It's not that important. But anyway, since the route was blocked, and they said that the only way to get to Cinnabar is to go through, like, Pallet Town, we realized that that was not our direction yet. So, we head east onto Route 15 in the reverse direction that we traveled when we first were in Kanto in red, blue, and yellow. And we see a bunch of schoolboys and their teachers, and then we run into, like, a bunch of bird keepers, some polka fans, like a hiker. And we keep rushing around the grass trying to find Chansey, but we fail.
I didn't exactly fail at the beginning.
No, we both failed. And later on when you played by yourself, you found it.
Am I going to get to tell my story?
Well, it wasn't the beginning. I was correcting your story because you were already off.
Now can I tell it?
I don't know. Can you?
Am I allowed to?
Sure.
I found a Chansey later on when I was wandering around, but I don't think that really matters. I found it in the grass. It
doesn't matter that much, but you said something incorrect. I was correcting.
Second try. So, like, yahoo, right? I had 40-some Pokeballs, Ultra Balls, and then a Leer Ball. Lure Ball.
I was like, a Leer Ball?
I've been leered many times today. By Electabuzz.
Yeah.
And so I fight it. I make it go to sleep. I weaken it. It wakes up. It heals. I fight it. It goes to sleep. And I keep throwing Pokeballs after Pokeball after Pokeball. And my last hope is the Lure Ball. And it still breaks free. So what's my choice? Just restart the game and throw it across the room and go to sleep.
I hope you didn't throw it across the room.
I gently set it in the pouch and then threw a pillow across the room.
That's what I would do.
And then I went to sleep because it was bedtime.
Yep. So instead, we just transferred our chances from our old games into our current games.
We did? I thought we still had to catch that guy.
Nope, we're good.
Oh.
I took care of it.
I was not aware of such things.
Well, you weren't looking for it anymore now anyway. You might have gone back for it, but...
I would have next time I played.
Well, no, you don't have to.
Actually, I would have forgotten where it was.
Oh, that makes sense.
I couldn't find the stupid power plant.
Well, we're not there yet. So you can't find it because we're on the wrong route for the power plant.
I kept going back on that route where I was trying to find it. I'm sorry, I'll get to that.
Anyway, so we go through that, like... Oh, it was kind of fun, too, because with the schoolboys and the teachers, we learned that by talking to them, they're actually on a field trip to Lavender Town to visit the radio tower. And then there's that, you know, maze-like area on route, like, 14 or 13 or something as we're going through these routes. And there was a couple of fun trainers, because there was one Pokefan that had a theme of King Pokemon. So he had like Nidoking and Sea King, I think, and Slowking. I think those were the kings he had. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of fun. And then there was another one that had a whole 6 Pokemon collection of Pikachu.
I was going to try to make a joke and say they were all unique and different.
No, they were all Pikachu.
And I heard him say what they were saying, and we were trying to watch a show, and he kept being like, push the button, push the button. I was like, I was pushing the button. And so I didn't pay much attention to the people I was fighting. Yeah, so I was like, oh, I fought Pikachu guy. Yahoo!
Yeah, you weren't paying a whole lot of attention.
That's because I was trying to watch a show.
Well, we were also trying to play a game.
I was trying to watch a show.
We sat down to play the game first.
And we had played for like a couple hours. Gee, so possessive.
Anyway. So then we end up on like the dock route with all the fishers and stuff. And there we find a guy who finally gives us the super rod. So we set out to fish out some quillfish.
With the good rod, right?
That's what you did for a while, wasn't it? That was really funny.
I was like, and then, where is my luck?
And we had a big discussion about it because I finally caught mine. And we had a discussion about it. And you're like, yeah, I forgot to switch out for the super rod. And then I thought you did it already, and you went off to do something, and so I took over and was fishing for a while, and then it took me, like, 4 fishes before I'm like, wait a second, I'm using the freaking good rod still. She didn't switch it yet.
That's because I had to go do something that was very
important. Yeah, no, I know.
So, like, yeah. And then I think I found it probably pretty quick after I got the super rod.
Maybe. I don't remember how long it took.
It wasn't, like, my usual quickness, but it was quick. Because all my luck was trying to get it with the good rod.
And so, like, a long time ago, we got a phone call in one of the games from Ralph the Fisherman, who's right before Union Cave, which is before Azalea Town. And we got a phone call from him saying the quillfish were biting, so we could have gone there to fish for him. But we ended up busy with other things, so we never did make it over there.
That's because it was my job to go get it, because he called me.
That could be. Anyway. So I've been waiting for those phone calls in the other games, or at least a repeat of the phone calls, so we could finally fish for it, you know? Mm-hmm. Not coming. Well, in Crystal, I caught my quillfish as well. It wasn't until, I think, after the gym battle when I went to go, because I did it a little differently than we, I went to do the, return the device for the power plant after the gym battle. Because apparently you didn't need to return it beforehand.
Spoilers.
Yeah, I know. But I get a phone call. From Ralph, saying the quillfish are biting.
Yay.
Well, it's pointless now. We already have them.
Oh, we do?
Yeah, we just caught the quillfish.
When?
We just discussed how we caught the quillfish here.
Oh, yeah. Goss.
Oh. I'm sorry that my daughter is a little ditzy.
Rude.
Ouch.
I'm not even a
also
blonde.
Abusive. Lies. Anyway. So we catch our quillfish, then we take a detour onto Route 11, which goes towards Diglett Cave and Vermilion City. And I know we couldn't get to Vermilion City because the Snorlax is in the way. I didn't realize he was also blocking the entrance to Diglett Cave. So we fought the 4 trainers there, which were like 2 youngsters and 2 psychics, and then headed back onto the docks.
Yeah, you're just like leading us astray.
I wasn't leading us astray. I wanted to go get some Diglett.
Yeah, but I was like, no, the Diglett Cave is probably blocked. And you're like,
you
no, it's
did
not.
Not say that at all. You were too busy watching a show.
I was not watching the show at that point.
Lies.
I'm sorry that my father is such a liar.
Oh, well, we've already had plenty of people understand that you're probably the untrustworthy one on this
plenty
show.
Plenty or your best friend? That's what I thought.
Anyway. Something that was interesting about that route, though, is there used to be a building there. Because the Snorlax used to be sleeping on the docks, you know? So we couldn't get further. In the red, blue, and yellow games. You don't remember this, do you?
Sure.
So in Red, Blue, and Yellow, when we get to Vermilion City, which is the third gym in that game, so we can go to Diglett Cave, and that leads us out towards where, like, the Mr. Mime trade is, and we can cut grass to take a shortcut to Viridian Forest and City.
Cut grass or trees?
Trees. And, but when you were in Vermilion, if you didn't go in Diglett Cave, you could cross where that route is where we fought four trainers, and that's where we would find, like, Drowsy and stuff to catch, and there was a bunch of trainers. But then there was a building there at the end of it where you could go up and look out through, like, the telescopes or binoculars or whatever. And it mentioned one of them tells you about a Snorlax. But if you go out the building and onto the dock route, you can't go further. You can't go up or down because in the intersection of that route is Snorlax sleeping. And we don't have the flute yet. We don't get that till we go through Lavender Town later, so which is why we have to go through the rock tunnel and everything. And in the manga, Red actually just bikes that way, and he wakes up the Snorlax anyway and then bikes up towards Lavender Town. So he skips the rock tunnel.
I think I caught most of that.
Okay. Well, good.
I kind of spaced out during our part, but then I understood it.
Okay. Anyway. So this time the building's gone, though. There's no building there.
Oh, darn.
So I thought that was interesting. And anyway, so we finish going up the route and fight a few more fishers and stuff and end up in Lavender Town, where we find some things have changed. First of all, right inside the south entrance is the Soul House, which is apparently where all the graves were moved, because if you try to go to Pokemon Tower, it isn't Pokemon Tower, but the Kanto Radio Tower.
Seriously, why do we have all these problems with the radio tower? Maybe because it's built on a Pokemon grave.
Well, that's not. They moved the graves. And then Mr. Fuji's actually kind of running things in the Soul House, which is interesting. And Mr. Fuji's house is a volunteer center, but it's also where he lives. And his granddaughter's there, along with some other dude and a bunch of Pokemon.
She's got a boyfriend.
Maybe, but they mentioned how the Pokemon were rescued by Mr. Fuji from people that just abandoned them or abused them or whatever.
Oh, how sad.
And the Name Raider's still there, even though we have a Name Raider in Goldenrod City.
And they liked all my names except for one, because that's the only one I actually named.
Yep. They liked all the traded Pokemon names.
Because I couldn't change them, so they had to say they liked them. And then they didn't like my starter Pokemon. How devastating, am I right?
I'm totally rude.
Yeah.
And inside the radio tower, we learned that it's not running right now, and the director there is like freaking out because he's going to lose all his money or something because they can't air because the power plant is down.
It's fine.
And there's another guy that says, oh, you can't listen to the Kanto radio stations because you need an expansion card or something for your Pokegear radio. But I mean, I don't know if we'd listen to it anyway because it sounds like it's down. But I bet you if we go back there with the power plant running, they'll give us one.
We should do that.
Because also if you talk to people there or elsewhere in Lavender Town or something, you learn that the radio station also has a Pokeflute channel.
Which wakes up Snorlax.
Which will wake up Snorlax. Exactly. That's how we'll get through Diglett Cave, which will lead us to finally getting to like Brock and them.
I was so smart and put all these pieces together for once.
Lies!
You are very accusing tonight.
You just keep lying.
I am not lying.
Anyway, so after exploring Lavender Town, instead of going further up towards the rock tunnel, we decide to finish the loop back to Saffron City. And we fight the few trainers there, but then at the very end, there's these three guys on bikes, and they're red, blue, and green, which I thought was fun. And then both in Crystal and in Silver, I did a fun thing with them where I, like, initiated one, initiated another one a little step further. So I, like, made, like, step stairs with them, kind of.
And I got them at random spots.
Yep. But they were, like, what did they call themselves? They were, like, the Kanto Federation or something weird like that.
Very long, weird, useless name.
But they were the punks that were doing battles in the underground tunnels because they say that the police shut them down and locked up the tunnels and not letting them be down there. And we know that they're the ones that did it based off what they say, but also this entrance to the underground tunnel was also locked, and the billboard for this one just says that the poster was ripped off or whatever. So we couldn't read it, but we know what it says because we read the other one.
Wait, what?
What? What did you not understand?
The posters.
There was a thing to read, but you couldn't read it because it said it was ripped off. But it's okay because there was one on the opposite one for the underground tunnel.
Oh, okay.
That said that because of youths battling in the undergrounds, like they're not supposed to be, we shut it down.
Now I remember.
And then we went into Saffron just to make sure that we completed that loop and talked to the guy in there, and then we headed back to Lavender Town.
Yahoo!
And so then we start up to Rock Tunnel. We fight the couple trainers that are outside of Rock Tunnel. And then we use Flash inside Rock Tunnel because it's dark in there again. Mm-hmm. And this time there's no trainers throughout it at all. So that was easier. A lot easier.
Yeah.
We found our Cubones in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you also decided to catch your Marowak so you didn't have to evolve one.
I did?
Yeah.
Sounds like me.
You don't even remember.
I probably didn't do it so that I didn't have to evolve it. I was just in a catchy mood. I ran into a lot of Marowaks just stating that were 5%.
Yeah, they were 5%. And the other thing that was 5% was Kangaskhan, which I ran into a couple of. And the first one took 2 throws. He was at full health, sleeping, took 2 Ultra Balls, caught him. The next one, I even beat him up. And I threw all the rest of my Ultra Balls and stuff. And I did catch him, I think. But
yes, you did.
I was almost out of Pokeballs by the end of it. And it was super infuriating and super ridiculous.
But while you kept looking, I also looked and I found one and I caught one. And so I caught silvers. And you caught gold. No, wait.
No, I caught crystals. No, you caught silvers and I caught golds and crystals.
Ah, right. Because yep. Then you're like, oh, now crystal, I don't even have to get one in crystal.
Yeah, which is true. Yeah. I didn't bother even looking for them in crystal. I did look for Cubone and Crystal while I was in the Rock Tunnel. But in Gold and Silver, they show up like 30% of the time, no matter what time of day. In Crystal, they do that during the early morning and the afternoon, and I was playing after it got dark out. And apparently they don't show up at all, so I was wasting a bunch of time. And this was the beginning of Crystal's mishaps, because I did that, and that didn't go well. And I'm like, I need some different Pokemon, and I heal anyway. And then I went back in, but then I was like, oh, wait. The next day. Next day, I think I tried to do it again. And finally, oh, that's right. So the next morning when I went back there, I went looking for Cubone. Supposed to be 30% chance. Instead, I find the 5% Machokes and the 5% Marowaks. And some Machops and other things. But I think I got the 5% almost as much as anything else, and finally I found a Cubone. And then it ran away.
I remember that.
Then I found another Cubone and I got it.
Yahoo!
But then I also thought that Electabuzz was in the grass right above the Pokemon Center outside the Rock Tunnel, but it's not. It's in the grass right outside the power plant, so I wasted a ton of time walking around that grass looking for Electabuzz too.
And tried to make me waste time, but I was just stupid and went to the other grass. So I didn't actually.
When you say you're stupid, you misunderstood what I was telling you and thought I meant something else.
That's true. You're like the grass by the river?
Yeah.
The power plant?
Yep.
And so, like, there were 2 patches by the river, but one was by the river and the power plant. The other one was by the start of the river. So I went to the one at the end of the river and the power plant.
And that worked out for you.
Well, you still caught yours before me, I think.
Well, I mean, at least you didn't waste time. I think this is a good time to do our Who's That Pokemon?
Who's That Pokemon?
Magneton. Magnet. Number 82. The Magnemite are united by a magnetism so powerful it dries all moisture in its vicinities.
3 Magnemite are linked by a strong magnetic force. Earaches will occur if you get too close.
Did you say that it sucks the humidity out of the air with the magnetism? Is that a thing?
Don't know. I am not well versed in the science of magnetism.
I mean, I'm not well versed, but I feel like I would have heard that at some point.
You did just now.
Mm-hmm. When many magneton gather together, the resulting magnetic storm disrupts radio waves.
That sounds more feasible.
Right? That? Oh, I'm like, okay, sure. But
electrode ball, number 101. It is dangerous. If it has too much electricity and has nothing to do, it amuses itself by exploding.
The more energy it charges up, the faster it gets. But this also makes it more likely to explode.
It stores an overflowing amount of electric energy inside its body. Even a small shock makes it explode.
I think it's kind of weird that mine was like, just for fun, when it's bored, it explodes.
Yeah, well, that's what they do. Didn't we learn, like, Geodude explode to, like, leap from mountain to mountain? Or Graveler?
Oh, probably.
I thought that was kind of cool. These self-destruct explodey things, they just do their thing. That obviously doesn't kill them or destroy them.
Primate, pig monkey, number 57. It will beat up anyone who makes it mad, even if it has to chase them until the end of the world.
It becomes wildly furious if it even senses someone looking at it. It chases anyone that meets its glare.
If approached while asleep, it may awaken and angrily give chase in a groggy state of semi-sleep.
Smoochum, kiss, number 238. It always rocks its head slowly backwards and forwards as if it is trying to kiss someone. I named the Smoochum Peck, P-E-K, but for like a peck, like a kiss.
Its lips are the most sensitive part on its body. It always uses its lips first to examine things. It's like, let me examine your face.
It's like an 8-month-old.
Hey, can I examine you, Serenity?
Yes, you may.
You had your chance earlier.
The sensitivity of its lips develops most quickly. It uses them to try to identify unknown objects. It really is a baby. Like, that's what babies do.
Well, it is. You do have to hatch it. It is a baby Pokemon.
Okay.
It evolves into Jinx.
Most, like, at least people who paint their nails, instinctively know that, because if you're trying to test if your nails are wet, you, like, instinctively test them on your lips. I don't know. I've seen that many times. Because you want to touch them as lightly as you possibly can, so just, like, very lightly tapping it on your lip to see if it's dry.
Huh. That makes sense, but I usually just use my other fingers.
Then you leave a dent in your almost dried nail polish.
You haven't learned yet.
I know. And then I repaint it. Quillfish. Balloon. Number 211.
Isn't that the same category as, like, Jigglypuff?
Probably. Yeah. One's soft and the other's spiky. To fire its poison spikes, it must inflate its body by drinking over 2.6 gallons of water all at once.
When faced with a larger opponent, it swallows as much water as it can to match the opponent's size.
The small spikes covering its body developed from scales. They inject a toxin that causes fainting. All right, so my quillfish is in silver is Quinn.
Mine is Shilf.
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 And in crystal, it's Fishpin.
So AI says that a typical magnet will not dry moisture from the air. However, a strong, specific magnetic fields, especially those with gradients, can slightly increase the rate of water evaporation by influencing the hydrogen bonds within water molecules. This effect is subtle and requires extremely powerful magnetic fields.
So magneton create very, very powerful magnetic fields.
Yes. But I can't find anything that says that besides Google AI overview. So my belief in it is not strong.
Gotcha. Not as strong as a magneton's magnetic powers.
Somebody asked about it in a Reddit, and one of the replies said, is that magnet going to affect your tinfoil hat at all? So I don't know. I don't know. It's at least out there in a couple of places, but there's only like 3 Google matches too, so I don't know.
Interesting.
Anywho. Tentacruel, jellyfish, number 73. When its 80 feelers absorb water, it stretches to become like a net to entangle its prey.
In battle, it extends all 80 of its tentacles to entrap its opponent inside a poisonous net.
Its 80 tentacles absorb water and stretch almost endlessly to constrict its prey and enemies.
Cubone! Lonely. Oh. Number 104. It always wears the skull of its dead mother, so no one has any idea what its hidden face looks like. Did you have an O for that too?
If it is sad or lonely, the skull it wears shakes and emits a plaintive and mournful sound.
It lost its mother after its birth. It wears its mother's skull, never revealing its true face.
That was just a reworded version of mine.
I know. That's what I was processing when you looked at me.
My Cubone in silver is Loner.
Mine is Samurai.
And in crystal, it's Bonnet.
Marowak, Bone Keeper, number 105.
I'm a Bone Keeper. I like all 206. Big fan.
It has been seen pounding boulders with the bone it carries in order to tap out messages to others.
Somewhere in the world is a cemetery just for Marowak. It gets bones from those graves.
It collects bones from an unknown place. A Marowak graveyard exists somewhere in the world, rumors say.
That was a reworded version of mine. Where are you getting this info?
The Pokedex entries, I don't know.
Kangaskhan!
Some people believe that Kangaskhan is actually the original parent of a Cubone. That little baby that's in its pouch.
Uh-huh.
When the baby is all grown
they
up,
they are a parent.
It rips out its head.
And so if the Kangaskhan dies, that baby becomes a Cubone. Otherwise, it's just Kangaskhan.
Well, that seems apparent. Number 115. To avoid crushing the baby it carries in its pouch, it always sleeps standing up. I am almost there.
To protect its young, it will never give up during battle, no matter how badly wounded it is, including, you know, getting killed.
If it is safe, the young gets out of the belly pouch to play. The adult keeps a close eye on the youngster.
My Kangaskhan is Hank.
Mine is Ha-Ha.
Like mom, mother?
Yeah, in Japanese.
Yeah, and then in crystal, mine is Roo. Rhydon, Drill, number 112. Its brain developed when it began walking on hind legs. Its thick hide protects it even in magma.
Its rugged hide protects it from even the heat of lava. However, the hide also makes it insensitive.
How often is he experiencing magma?
Well,
he drills,
and stuff.
And he's probably drilling.
Yeah, but magma is when it's still under the ground. Is he, like, going for underground swims? Spelunking through
He drills into the ground.
Okay, that's fair enough. By lightly spinning on its drill-like horn, it can easily shatter even a diamond in the rough.
A diamond in the rough.
A diamond in the rough.
I was ready to do the echo myself, but you were on it. Good job.
I got your back, dude.
Do you know what that's from?
No.
Aladdin.
I tell you, we need to watch Aladdin with these guys.
We really do.
It's really weird how they don't know it.
I've seen the movie.
Oh.
Not forever enough. Ago. I was just a youngster.
When I was a young warthog.
Do you know what that's from?
Yeah. Chansey, Eddie. I knew that.
Yeah, okay.
I've never seen the full movie of Lion King.
What's going on around here?
We don't watch a lot of Disney animated movies, I guess.
I've seen Cinderella.
Maybe this is why I really sometimes. Don't get the Disney adult thing. We just don't watch them.
I watch Beauty and the Beast still, sometimes.
Beauty and the Beast, that's good.
I watched it like 2 years ago. That's the last I've seen.
Well, I don't
like
watch it regularly, but I had a friend come over and we watched it together once. I mean, that was a while ago.
Chansey Egg, number 113. It walks carefully to prevent its egg from breaking. However, it is extremely fast at running away.
People try to catch it for its extremely nutritious eggs, but it rarely can be found.
Few in number and difficult to capture, it is said to bring happiness to the trainer who catches it.
Kabuto, shellfish, number 140. 300 million years ago, it hid on the sea floor. It also has eyes in its back that glow.
This Pokemon lived in ancient times. On rare occasions, it has been discovered as a living fossil.
On rare occasions, some have been found as fossils, which they become while hiding on the ocean floor. Just summed up your guys's.
The Kabuto is Tubako, which is just the letters of Kabuto rearranged to be kind of like tobacco, I guess.
Oh, dear.
And then let's go over our current Pokedex stats.
Mine is, I've seen 232, and I own 232.
That's a lie.
Fine, I own like 194.
And silver, I've also only seen 232, but I own 216.
No!
Yes, 216. And in crystal, same scene, and owns 204. And that's our Pokedex entries. So after that, we head west towards Cerulean City, going through the trainers that are there, some hikers and stuff, picnickers and whatnot. And then in Cerulean City, we don't go to the gym right away because... Oh, wait, no. We don't go to Cerulean City yet. We went to the power plant first.
Yeah.
Come on. You got to correct me here. So, yeah, we surfed the river, got to the power plant, and we chatted to people in there. And, of course, it's very different now because the power plant had been running where it was an abandoned power plant in Red and Blue and stuff. And it's not running now because a machine part was stolen, and the guy talks about it. And then they get a report that some mysterious-looking dude is in Cerulean.
So they just expect us to go fix it, and we're like, no. And so we don't want to.
That's not true at all. Oh. We wanted to. So anyway, we head back out, and we follow the route to Cerulean City, battling picnickers and campers and hikers. And once we get to Cerulean City, we don't go to the gym right away because we want to, like, do everything else, right? So we visit the places. We find out that the bike shop closed up and moved to Goldenrod City, so the Goldenrod bike shop is the same owned business or whatever. And what else is in Cerulean? I don't know. There's just some people. Oh, the house that had the hole in the back of it still there, but they don't have the hole behind it anymore. But the city got opened up in a lot of areas, so we can travel it much easier. Mm-hmm. And I also visited an old lady towards the south of Cerulean City where the old daycare place used to be. And she said that I was going to die, but she saved me or something like that. It was weird. And the other lady in there is like, I apologize for my grandma. She weirds people out.
I didn't talk to her.
Yeah, it was a nothing conversation. But but then after exploring that, we talked to a guy that was by the water, and he mentioned something out there. So we go up Golden.
Well, no. He also is like, oh, my item finder is reacting.
Yeah. So we go up Nugget Bridge, which has nobody on it this time, and we go around and surf the river. Because you can't get any further this time. There's no Mewtwo Cave this time or anything like that. Because he talks about a powerful Pokemon having been there or whatever. And we found a Berserk thing there. I forget what it was called. And it's a held item for the Pokemon. So we picked that up. We went back. And I did explore a little further to the west to make sure that we couldn't just like get back to Mount Moon that way. Because in the original games, you couldn't get back to Mount Moon that way. And sure enough, we can't. So we definitely need to move Diglett to get to the other side of Kanto. So then after that, we decide to explore the route after Nugget Bridge that goes to Bill's house at the end there by the water.
Yeah.
The sea cottage. And there's like a six-pack of trainers there that want to battle you. And we beat them all, but then there's a guy at the end with a Porygon who's like, I was just waiting for you all to get weakened by the six-pack trainers. I'm not even part of that group. I just wanted to beat you. Of course, we waste him, too.
And I don't think we even had to heal.
I definitely didn't. And then I get to the last guy who's kind of in charge, who's supposed to have the prize for beating the six-pack trainers. And he's like, yeah, I promise to give you a prize. So he gives us a nugget, so it's kind of like doing the Nugget Bridge again. And he's like, I'm really impressed. You beat the six-pack and a person you weren't expecting to fight. And then he's like,
it was weird what they said, but I wasn't paying very much attention, so I was like, person not expected, whatever.
And then he's like, but now can I fight you too? So I'm like, sure.
So we actually fought 8 people?
Yep.
We didn't just fight 6?
Correct.
Oops.
So yeah, beat him too. I don't even remember what he had. I think he had the starters, like the second evolution of the starters from Kanto. Like Charmeleon,
War Turtle. One of the people did.
I think it was him. And then we get to the cottage, which has Bill's grandpa there. And he says he wants to see a Pokemon that Bill talked about that has a long tongue. So I went with, in Silver, I went back and got my Lickitung and brought it to him. But then he wants an Oddish by this description, and I didn't have an Oddish. Crystal has an Oddish. So in Crystal, I did the Oddish, and then I did the next one too, which was, maybe it was Staryu. I definitely did a Staryu. Now he wants a Growlithe. I know I'm at that point where he wants a Growlithe, but I don't have a Growlithe, so I'll have to figure that one out.
Don't we have Growlithes?
I have an Arcanine and Crystal. I don't know if we have both. I think in Silver I might have both Growlithe and Arcanine.
Oh.
And you might too, but in Crystal I only had an Arcanine.
Okie dokie.
So we'll have to do some trading, because I have the Oddish that I can like hand off to like Silver and stuff too to finish that task instead of just catching one again. So I got a little further, and every time you give him, show him those things, he gives you an item. So he gave me the Everstone first, which is...
Have you been doing all these without me?
Well, I did the one in Silver, I told you. In Crystal, I did a bunch. But you give... Hey, listen. So he gives you the Everstone. Do you know what that does?
It powers up ice moves.
No, the Everstone, if you hold it, the Pokemon won't evolve. So if you don't want it to evolve and don't have to worry about pressing B or whatever, you just give him Everstone. But then, when you bring him an Oddish, he gives you a Leaf Stone. And if you bring, when you bring him the Staryu, you get the Water Stone. And I'm sure with Growlithe, I'll get the Fire Stone. And then I'm sure there's going to be a Thunderstone one.
Ooh, maybe he'll want a Pikachu.
Yeah, we don't, which we don't have yet. So then we finally go to the gym. Because we didn't find Shady Guy. Well, sure enough, that's where Shady Guy is. He bumps into us. He speaks really weird. And he's a member of Team Rocket.
You even messed up with talking for him because you auto-corrected it.
A couple of times, yeah. And then he runs off. And so we chase him down, and he's on Nugget Bridge. And he says some weird stuff again, says he's from another country. And then we beat him up. And he's like, wait a second. All of Team Rocket's already beat up from Johto? Like, because we had taken care of him. He's like, oh, man. Well, I guess I'm out of here. And he lets us know where he stashed the machine part, because he hid it inside Cerulean Gym. So we go back to the gym. We go to the center area where he said he hid it, and we pick it up. And we go back to the power plant, return it. Power has been restored. And the guy gives us the Zap Cannon TM, which I looked it up, and it's supposed to be a really powerful electric move, but also only hits 50% of the time. So, no thanks. So, getting the power plant running was fantastic. And then we move on to going back to the gym. Although Crystal did it a little differently. But nobody was at the gym still. We're like, wait, what? So we had to go look around.
Yeah, we were like, wait, what?
Well, I was, because you were distracted. So... Then I go up the cape because some people talked about people being up there on dates or whatever. So we go back up towards the sea cottage. And sure enough, when you show up, the guy that's with Misty spooks and runs away. And then Misty's like, you interrupted my date, you pest. Oh, hey, you have lots of Johto gym badges. Come battle me. So then we go to the gym, go in, fight the few swimmers that are in there, and we take on Misty. And it did not go as smoothly as I expected.
Redonkulously easy.
So I purposely did not bring my Jolteon, which is level 100, which would have wasted most of this everything. Well, even the one that would have been weaker against it would have wasted, probably.
Yeah.
So I had Leafy, though, who's strong and took out most things. But then when I got to Misty, she starts with Golduck, took him out easy. Then she's like, oh, so you have grass Pokemon, so I'm going to bring out Lapras and use a lot of ice moves. And for some reason, Razor Leaf kept missing a lot, which really was annoying.
It was really funny when she brought out Lapras, because you're like, I wasn't paying attention. What's she going to bring out? So I quickly finished up Golduck now, and then I was like...
Starmie. Or no, not Starmie.
Quagsire.
Quagsire.
And I was like, Quagsire! And you're like, okay. And he were like, good, I'll stay with Leafy. And then she sent out Lapras.
Because Quagsire would have been easy for Leafy.
But it had shown on his Pokeballs that she skipped a Pokemon just to get rid of him fast.
So... yeah, I struggled against Lapras, but won. And then I struggled against Starmie, who also used Ice Moves and won. And then, yeah, Quagsire was easy. So I was smarter in Crystal and brought both an electric Pokemon and a Pokemon with Grass Moves. And wasted everybody, including Misty. And then we got our Cascade Badge, which is our 13th badge now?
I don't know.
Well, we did 8 in Johto, and we've done... 5, so 8 plus 5, 13. Yeah, 13. We have 3 gyms left.
Good job.
I can do math. I like how you put your mouth to the microphone and then clapped.
I was trying to catch you off guard.
Anyway, so we won there, got our Cascade Badge, and power is back. So now we'll have to probably go visit Lavender Town to get our Pokeflute channel. We also can probably use the magnet train now.
Yay.
So lots of good stuff.
Yay.
So we can travel to Johto easy, which is good because we have some stuff to do there. But
which town does it take us to?
You should know because we met the station in Johto a long time ago.
I think I know, but I'm hoping.
Okay, tell me.
It's Goldenrod.
Darn straight it is.
Yeah! And then we can go get our haircuts easier. We don't even have to fly when we get into town and stuff.
Yes, it'll take us to Goldenrod, so we can go back and forth, which will be awesome. So we have that option, and we have Snorlax to deal with, but we need the flute, so.
And so now, there was also another project I was working on during all this, and even before it. And here's a little hint as to what it was.
So, about this leg. I've been working on something since May in Crystal. And I have to interrupt it every so often when Crystal has to catch up to Gold and Silver. Because, you know, before our break, I mentioned, you know, finding the shrine and stuff. I think it was before the break. I mentioned finding the Celebi shrine and with the ball. And I'm like, I want Celebi. But I wanted shiny Celebi, which is like an 8,192 chance or something ridiculous. So, I have been working on this constantly since May. So, most of the summer. Because pink and green are my favorite colors. And time travel is one of my favorite things, so this just seemed like the shiny I had to try to get. I was determined. I was losing hope. And I finally got it. But I also had developed a plan in my head when I was like, when I get shiny Celebi, I should try to do this. And so I made things even harder on myself. And so in Silver, I hatched a bunch of Eevees. Sent some of them to Blue or Yellow or whatever to... evolve them into the three, because the stones are easier to obtain in Blue because you can just buy them. I already had an Umbreon in Crystal, and so then I also sent an extra Eevee to Crystal, and then I pumped it full of vitamins and got some haircuts and evolved it at like level 7 so I could have my Espeon. And then I did the Elite Four over and over and over again to get Celebi and these Eeveelutions I didn't have yet. Because I already had Vaporeon as well from a trade from the previous game.
I don't think you ever said that you got Celebi. You gotta skip that part.
Well, I got shiny Celebi. I finally got it, and I'm so excited. So, I do that, and I train them all up to at least level 40. Vaporeon, by this point, is in his 80s, because I've had him for a while. And he started at level 40 when I got him, because I traded it from Yellow.
He's as old as you!
Level 80. Anyway. So then, once they're all done, I can finally take them on through there. Now, I don't always have all of them with me, because I need some to stay out so I can evolve other Pokemon. Or I need, like, Gastly or Gengar around to help sleep things or whatever. But I also used a lot of, like... Well, I used some TMs and HMs on them, and I found out I couldn't put the three water HMs on Vaporeon. So it has... It's Aurora Beam for an ice move, and then it has Whirlpool, Surf, and Waterfall. Nice. And I just use Surf to kill things, because at level 80, Surf, Water move with the stab bonus, it all works great.
I use Surf on my Crocs to kill almost everything. Yep.
And... With my Celebi, I trained trained Giga Drain into it, which is a TM, but it's a grass move that it can learn then. Which you only get five uses of, but it like absorbs a lot of health from the enemy Pokemon with the bonus from being grass if they're weak to grass, and heals Celebi then. And I put Cut on one of them and Flash on one of them, but those are the only HMs I can do. So when I finally have to use other HMs, I will have to switch out some Pokemon. But this is my team now going forward, except for when I'm evolving stuff, you know? So when I went to Misty, I switched out, so I had my team with me, which also meant I had Jolteon with the electric moves and Celebi with its Giga Drain.
You should give me your team.
Nope. And so let's see, what did I name them? Vaporeon still Hydro, because that's just from the Yellow game. Celebi I named 88, but it didn't have room for the actual spelling of the numbers, so it's 80 space and then 8 as in like I ate a sandwich. And
I thought you were just gonna do numbers. 88.
I don't think you can do numbers. Like when we've done numbers in the past, it's always been Roman numerals. Which I could have fit. I could have fit Roman numerals in there. I could have done 80 VIII. There was room for that if there was no space. But I did. I decided to go 88. And let's see. So then my Flareon, I think, is just Blaze. And my Espeon... Oh, my Umbreon was Moonbeam still. My Espeon... Shoot, what did I name my Espeon? Oh, Jewelian. But Jewel spelled as in, like, a jewel, like it has in its forehead. Jewelian. And then finally, my... Jolteon is Rockstar. So those are the electric and grass type moves I took into the gym to defeat Misty. And we'll be using it on the Elite Four in the future and all that stuff, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
But that has been our journey. And so here. And with the revelation of Celebi, I did trade it through all of our games, so we all have the thing. So here is a bonus. Who's that Pokemon?
Who's that Pokemon?
Celebi, time travel, number 251, which is how many Pokemon are in the Pokedex. When Celebi disappears deep in a forest, it is said to leave behind an egg it brought from the future.
Did it steal it from Chansey?
Maybe.
This Pokemon wanders across time. Grass and trees flourish in the forest in which it has appeared.
Revered as a guardian of the forest, Celebi appears wherever beautiful forests exist.
And I think that's our adventure so far. So next time we play, we will... see if we're taking on one or two gyms. I don't know, because I thought we were going to do two gyms constantly because they were so close together, but this one took a little bit more work, so... Now it's time for Pokemon cards!
Whoop whoop!
And this week we are opening two of the few packs I got for White Flare and Black Bolt, and I'm opening Scarlet and Violet White Flare.
I'm opening Scarlet and Violet Black Bolt.
All right, you're first.
Pidove, colorless. Each follows its trainer's orders as best it can, but they sometimes fail to understand complicated commands. Karrablast, grass. Ability, stimulated evolution. If you have Shelmet In play, this Pokemon can evolve during your first turn or the turn you play it. These mysterious Pokemon evolve when they receive electrical stimulation while they are in the same place as Shelmet. Golett. Psychic. The energy that burns inside it enables it to move, but no one has yet been able to identify this energy. Pawnerd. Steel. Blades comprise this Pokemon's entire body. If battling dulls the blade, it sharpens them on stone by the river. Stage 2. Seismitoad. Water. Evolves from Pulpitoad. They shoot paralyzing liquid from their head bumps. They use vibration to hurt their opponents. Supporter Trainer. Ends plan. Move up to 2 energy from your benched Pokemon to your active Pokemon.
Another end card.
Escavalier. Evolves from Karrablast, what I had earlier. Stage 1. Steel. They fly around at high speed, striking with their pointed spears. Even when in trouble, they face opponents brave. Simipour evolves from Panpour. Reverse holo. Water. The tuft on its head holds water. When the level runs low, it replenishes the tuft by siphoning up water with its tail. Second reverse holo. Audino. Colorless. It touches others with the feelers on its ears, using the sound of their heartbeats to tell how they are feeling. My rare is Caracosta. Caracosta evolves from Tortuga. Water. Ability, Mighty Shell. Prevent all damage from effects of attacks done to this Pokemon by your opponent's Pokemon that have any special energy attacked. They can live both in the ocean and on land. A slap from one of them is enough to open a hole in the bottom of a tanker. Electric. Energy.
All right. I have Deerling Grass. The color and scent of their fur changes to match the mountain grass. When they sense hostility, they hide in the grass. Mindfu. Fighting type. In fights, they dominate with onslaughts of flowing, continuous attacks. With their sharp claws, they cut enemies. Ducklet, water type.
I have a Japanese card, I think, with that.
Nice. These bird Pokemon are excellent divers. They swim around the water eating their favorite food, peat moss. Vullaby, dark type. Its wings are too tiny to allow it to fly. As the time approaches for it to evolve, it discards the bones it was wearing. Pokemon Tool Trainer Card, Brave Bengal. If the Pokemon this card is attached to doesn't have a rule box, the attacks it uses do 30 more damage to your opponent's active Pokemon EX. Vanillux evolves from Vanillish, water type. Swallowing large amounts of water, they make snow clouds inside their bodies and attack their foes with violent blizzards.
At first, I thought there was only one evolution out of it, but there are two.
Yeah, Vanillite, Vanillish, Vanillux.
Yep.
Sock. Fighting type. The sound of Sock punching boulders and trees can be heard all the way from the mountains where they train. My first reverse holo, Rock and Rolla. Fighting type. Its ear is hexagonal in shape. Compressed underground, its body is as hard as steel. My second reverse holo is a Basculin, water type. Red and blue Basculin get along so poorly, they'll start fighting instantly. These Pokemon are very hostile.
Oh dear.
Ooh, and my rare is Jellicent EX. Psychic type evolves from Frillish. Ability, Oceanic Curse. The Curse of Flight 815. Oceanic Flight, A15. As long as this Pokemon is in the active spot, your opponents can't play any item cards or Pokemon tool cards from their hand.
I'm jealous.
Ooh, and my basic energy card has also got a little bit of a holo in it, and it has those lines like your rare card did, and it's a dark energy. So, Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunterfield Institute production. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and other podcasting platforms. We're on YouTube at the Hunterfield Institute channel. Just look for the Routes Through Pokemon playlist. And wherever you find us, please like, subscribe, rate, review, and go ahead and leave some comments and stuff. We'd love to engage and chat with you. And if you really want, like, something lengthier or whatever, you can also email us at hunterfieldmanor@gmail.com. You can also find some posts from me at kinetic_card on Instagram or hunterfieldins on X. And we also have a Facebook page, Routes Through Pokemon, where we post our updated tally counts and episode rankings and everything, and our caught Pokemon, so you can keep up where we're at on everything. But thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next route. Bye-bye! Sayonara! Part 52. The Overseer. Murasaki felt uneasy as he emerged onto the second floor of Pokemon Tower. He didn't like that he felt that way, and the fact that he did only made him feel more unnerved. He had dreamed of making it to Lavender Town for years, waiting anxiously to reach his 10th year so that he could receive a partner and begin his journey. Gengar was a Pokemon that had always fascinated him. It had a typing that no other Pokemon did. Ghost. He often wondered why, but even more, he was very curious as to what it could do. But shortly after reaching the tower, he had an odd sense of dread. The two children that had crowded around him were odd and seemed to talk in circles. Then the old woman that drove them off looked like she had crawled from a grave herself, and he hadn't seen the girl he had arrived with in a while, which he would have been happy about before. Boards creaked underfoot as Murasaki stepped deeper onto the level. The wind outside, and some quiet murmurings from a few people scattered around at various graves, were the only other sounds. When Murasaki took another step, there was a sudden rumble, and he worried for just a moment that the building was about to collapse. But it was just the rolling thunder of an approaching storm. Taking a deep breath to calm himself, Murasaki continued forward, taking light steps as if any of them might cause the floor to snap. He started to scan the area, looking for any sign of Pokemon besides the grave markers of those departed. Despite the claims of those children that Ghastly were everywhere in the building, he hadn't caught a single glimpse of one. His unfortunate luck continued on that second floor. A shift of movement caught the boy's eye, and he glanced to his right. One of the grave overseers had turned in his direction and seemed to be watching him. That did nothing to calm his nerves. But perhaps it was just his imagination. Murasaki tried to ignore the overseer as he pressed onward. If there were no Ghastly on that floor, he would just work his way to the other side of the room, where another flight of steps would take him even higher into the tower. There was more movement to his right, and the boy couldn't help but glance again. The overseer was still facing him, despite his movement, and they had gotten closer. Swallowing hard, Murasaki stayed right where he was. He glanced back the way he had come and discovered he was about as far from those stairs as he was from the new set. A large part of him wanted to call it quits and make a mad dash back downstairs and out of the tower. But he still really wanted to find a Ghastly, and since they weren't on either of the first two levels, then that must mean he would need to get higher. Deciding to watch the overseer watching him, Murasaki started walking backwards. The overseer just stood where they were, watching, their features hidden due to the dim light of the building. Fear was starting to creep in even further. He tried to fight it off and realized he should just tell the creep to leave him alone. The boy started flexing his jaw, getting ready to speak, but just as he was about to open his mouth, fear seized control and he just stood there like a fool. Then, a blinding light filled the room, and for just a moment, Murasaki saw the face of the overseer. It was wrong. What he noticed first were the impossibly large eyes. The overseer's mouth was stretched into an unnatural grin, and were there fangs? Almost as soon as the flash of light faded, there was a crash of thunder that caused the entire tower to shudder. The combination of the frightening visage of the overseer and the following boom caused Murasaki to turn and run. Only, he didn't make it more than 3 steps, which wasn't really enough motion to really call it a run. Behind the boy were 2 more overseers staring in his direction. Turning back around to check on the first overseer, Murasaki found they had moved even closer. There didn't seem to be a way out without running by an overseer, and he wasn't sure getting close to one would be a great idea. Taking a deep breath, Murasaki grabbed the Pokeball at his side and then released his Oddish. He opened his mouth to announce his Pokemon, but before a sound emerged, he witnessed something extremely odd. The overseer's body jerked forward as if something had knocked them in the back of the head. They had to shuffle their feet quickly to keep from falling over. Then the overseer's head shot back, their hood falling off and revealing long gray hair. Another couple of shuffled steps kept the overseer from falling backward. Jerking up into a standing position, Murasaki could then see the overseer's face. Many deep lines traveled across it, revealing a woman who had lived a long or difficult life. The features Murasaki had seen, fangs, large smile, huge eyes, were all missing now. In fact, the eyes were small and squinted and kind of empty-looking. The woman moved her arms with clumsy, overly pronounced actions, and as she did, her legs and head seemed to sag. The overseer gave Murasaki all the impressions of a marionette being guided by the unskilled hands of an amateur puppeteer. Murasaki chanced a glance back at the other two overseers, and they had seemingly stopped moving. The boy wondered if they were just as shocked by what he was witnessing as he was, and didn't dare get near the puppet woman. Returning his attention forward, Murasaki watched as the woman made an approximation of grabbing something at her side, and then she thrust it forward with gusto. Only there was nothing in her hands. Her mouth opened wide, and then the features Murasaki had seen before started to return, overtaking those of a frail old woman. The image became cloudier, and then her face shot forward to meet the little Oddish standing between them. She had sent in her Pokemon to battle. To be continued.